I know the DJ.
Do you?
You gotta 90s baby, stand up. You're coming back because I'm blowing in it. Pause. I take my craft serious.
Get the hell out of here. I don't owe you shit.
Welcome to episode 94 of But I Know the DJ, the original New England podcast discussing all things DJing, music, nightlife, business, and pop culture through the unaffiliated opinions of host Snacks.
Give me Snacks, baby.
DJ's Fingers and Cammy V. DJ.
Big day.
All hosts in the building and on time. We're doing pretty good. We're doing okay.
We're doing okay.
But miss you guys. How's everything going? How's spring? Has sprung.
Spring has sprung.
And summer's coming, baby.
Well, that's a New England fucking spring. It's fucking cold one day.
Yeah.
Thunderstorming the next.
It sucks because it's warmer outside than it is inside the house.
Yeah.
Like, it's warm in the sun, but if you're in the shade or in your house, it's fucking cold.
I like it cold, though. I like sleeping
cold.
I love it cold. I like sleeping cold.
I'm warm-blooded.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Sagittarius. So, I sleep cold. I sleep naked. No, I don't sleep naked. I sleep with underwear, but it depends who's with me. You know what I'm saying?
You gonna feel this dick on your thigh. What is that? It's so warm.
She's like, can you move your leg? My legs are nowhere close to you.
What you mean? My legs are hanging off the bed, bitch. That is my dick.
Naked and afraid over here.
But
I love Schlong talking at the top of the pod. It's great.
What's the count on that? A minute in and we're already talking.
New record!
A minute in. New record!
Let's go.
But what's interesting, why I bring up seasons changing is, nightlife changes. You know, especially in a market like Boston where it's a big university city. We got like 17 schools or something like that within... greater Boston area. So we experience a big change. I know there's a lot of other DJs around the country, around the world that kind of experience something similar. If you DJ in a big college market, there's like seasonal changes. And a lot of people don't really understand that. A lot of like just patrons, people that just go out, or if you live within that market, you don't really see the changes the same way we do. And so that means, really over a week, we lose like 350,000 people.
Like that. Yep.
Over a week. And so that changes the scope of nightlife, how you might have to approach it, and the crowds that you get. Like maybe for the last 6 months, you've been getting X crowd and now you're getting Y crowd, And so how do you make those adjustments? How have you guys seen nightlife change maybe within the last few weeks, last few months, and maybe compared to 10 years ago?
Yeah, definitely. And, I was talking to, it's funny that we're bringing this up now, but I was talking to producer Dylan. Shout out DMG. We were literally talking about this not too long ago, a couple weeks ago. And, it's as the seasons change and, as those college kids leave, I find that different spots of the city, either become dead or busy.
Busier or more. Yeah.
And then on top of that, too, like the crowd flips. So, for example, right, like Fenway, which, I do a lot of bookings for out there in the Fenway area.
Yeah, I just slammed it last week.
Yeah, you did.
No, did he?
Give me Snacks, baby.
Oops, sorry.
That was loud. You're good. Literally, so Fenway, for example, like big college demographic.
Yeah.
You guys are ridiculous.
Yo, my man just hit me with a crazy mouth in my fucking ear.
Don't act like you never heard it before.
Jesus Christ. So obviously big college crowd, but then now, because it's summertime, Red Sox season are in, you're going to get like older demographic in there. So that's a great example of it.
Yeah, where it's still busy. I mean, Fenway is Fenway, right? But you get just this completely different demographic. So if you're not used to that, right? Maybe if you're new to those bookings and you're like, oh, okay, well, I've done this 5 times. I know what to expect. And then you're like, whoa, what the fuck is this? Completely different crowd. You know what I mean? And that's the thing with age, right? Like, especially when those are the two spectrums of going out, right? You have these kids that just started going out.
Yep.
And these people that have gone out a million times in their lives and they kind of want, they're coming from a game. It's just a different vibe, you know? And so that definitely is an interesting example. Fingers, what do you think?
I just think with the decline, it definitely adds to it. Definitely a decline in the club. I think worldwide, I sent you a little thing earlier today where I guess they're experiencing the same thing overseas. yep. where clubs are shutting down and things are changing. The newer generation are finding newer things to do, newer places to hang out mm-hmm. other than just the club. So it's just, it all adds to
Yeah,
it.
So I do have that clip that Fingers is referring to here. Let's go. Let's give that a listen here.
They're gone.
They're completely
gone. Do
you know,
in 2019, there was 1,500 clubs in the UK. Today we're sitting on like 600 and they're just getting more and more lessons.
I talk to my nieces, like my niece is like 24 or whatever. They don't really go clubs.
No.
They go festivals
yeah.
or if there's a big event at a big super club,
yeah.
once they're booked the tickets for that, yeah. they mostly go restaurants where there's DJs or they go to house parties.
That's right.
Nightclub culture is gone.
I think it's sad.
And it is sad.
It's a British culture for us.
I've had parts of nightclubs. Yeah. You know, I've been a partner in nightclubs yeah. and, you know, I used to love it.
Mm.
And you just knew as soon as the pubs come out and the bars come out, that club was filling up with 400 or 500 people.
At 10 p.m., 10:30.
That's not happening. That I don't know if it'll ever come back.
That's bloody true. That's bloody true.
Aren't their accents sick?
Yeah.
I was listening to it.
Bloody
like,
hell.
Yeah,
she was sucking on my cock and she bit my cock. She put teeth on my cock.
Oh my God. Yo, see, this is what my friend Ange is talking about.
What? Yeah, shout out
Ange if she's listening.
Angie.
And shout out Ange. She's a friend of mine, one of my running friends. And she finally met Fingers and Cammy for the first time. And
I've met Angel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, true. She's finally met Fingers. And she goes, yeah, like listen to your show, but Jesus Christ, you guys are so misogynistic. Sometimes she's like, she's like that mouth
I'm
of yours.
I'm a fucking guy. You want to talk about? Oh, you sucking on my vagina?
So,
huh? My clitoris.
Shout out our female listeners. We love you.
And wanker.
And we respect you.
Yeah, shout out to all my women out there, big titties, small titties.
Oh my God!
Oh, I'm trying to say all sizes is good under the eyes of the God.
Snacks, how's that song go?
Beautiful titty, but naked women, they just fall in the sky, you know. Die, you know.
So back to the fucking point. So yeah, nightclubs fully changing. And really just the nightlife culture changing. As they said, you know, he had like what, 24-year-old like niece or something like that. Yeah. That, you know, is now. I think people, again, with social, I think it's really tied into social media, TikTok. You see people that their whole page is really just them experiencing life, little clips, little carousels, you know, Instagram, whatever, that they want to do different stuff. They want to do cool stuff. Mm-hmm. They don't want to live at the club every week necessarily. So one week it's the dinner party, like they said, and they might have a DJ. A lot of these, you know, big steakhouses now are getting fucking DJs and shit. Another week they want to go to a bar. Another week they want to do a club. But another week they're going to go travel.
It's like
they want to go to a festival.
It's like their life. Right. They want they're turning their lives into that highlight reel.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
They're hosted. You know, they're and that's what it used to be. People that faked that, they used to take pictures like from like Cancun 4 years like last year and then post it, like act like they're there. But now people are actually like, hey, every day I want to do something new.
Yeah.
To make sure I'm looking. My page is popping. It's crazy.
Right. You said this before, Fingers, that back then, before social media, the way to link up with people was going to the club, going to the bar.
You know,
that was the watering hole.
Yeah.
But now, again, they were too accessible. I can see what y'all are doing any given time, so I don't need to link up with y'all.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that definitely plays a big role. Cammy, did you want to say something?
Yeah, I think the there should be a study on this one here, but it could be far-fetched. The culture, when we were younger, right? Where did we meet up when we were like in middle school, high school? Everyone used to go to the mall. Obviously,
right? Yeah.
The mall
that
was like a big
changed
place, right?
A lot too,
that's
I'm sure. Yeah.
gone.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
gone.
Yo, I
but
remember
like
the
that
link up at the mall.
The
bro,
mall link
and then,
up,
and then the shorties pulled up. Oh yeah, let's go to the food court. Me,
the
real
food court.
Quick, let's go get something to eat.
You know, so
you like that?
They're giving out teriyaki samples over there. I'm gonna go back.
Panda Express, meet me there.
I get you a teriyaki sample right now.
Yo, orange chicken.
Johnson, you want to go take a portable picture real quick? We gonna do that real quick. Obviously, you link up with your boys. I'm gonna link up with my boys. You gonna link up with your girls. I'm gonna see y'all. I'm gonna meet y'all at Tello's.
Oh,
I'm gonna see you at Tello's. I'm gonna come down and tell us. All right, we about to go to New Balance over there. Go sneaker shopping real quick. Go window shopping. Come back. You know what I'm saying? We see y'all down the hall and start giggling and shit. Like
you guys go to Spencer's. You guys go to Spencer's.
What's up? Walk up with that slow walk. What's up? I'm down for another chicken teriyaki sample. Drink another chicken teriyaki.
Yo, this is how you know Fingers is the oldest because this is too real. Yeah, this is way too real. This is very real. Yo, so Cammy mentioned Spencer's. Yo, let's go.
That was a dirty shot right there. Stop giving hints.
No. Because you're like, oh, like this store got funny t-shirts in the front. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, let's just check out these t-shirts. And then you're like, but in the back.
They got the dick and tits in the back, man. You go to the back real quick.
They got like the candy G string in the back. And you're like, yo, like,
that was our foreplay right there.
Yeah, like, would you wear something like this? Like,
you want an ice cream cone? Go to Old Country Buffet and get your ice cream cone. What you want?
R.I.P. Old Country Buffet.
What you want? Chocolate vanilla swirl, baby? They ain't got no jimmies, though. They ain't got no jimmies.
Oh, my God.
This is too... What are we talking... Oh, yeah.
My comparison. I can't even make a point on this show anymore.
Yeah, that's life. I miss those days.
Yo, this is way too real.
No, I miss those days, man. So, oh my God.
We used to close down the mall when they used to start shutting down the. We still sitting on the benches. Like, what are we doing though? Where we going? I gotta go home. It's the lights up.
The last movie plays at 9:40.
Yeah, right. They start running to the stores and we just run back to Spencer's real quick. Going to the 25-cent machine, get you a little ring, bitch. One wear that.
Oh, God, up, my man? Head hurts.
So, anyways, it's real shit right there.
It's real life right there.
Dude, y'all don't experience life.
I'm telling you, before, I'm sorry to interrupt you, before the phones, yo, like that type of experience of life, yo, that shit stays with you forever. Like,
That shit was vivid.
Like, vivid in your mind. Like, that's what it used to be. Now, you know, that used to release the endorphins and the dopamine in your brain. Now people are literally just experiencing the high off just looking on the phone. So now it's like, I don't got to go outside. Right. I can just be like, yo, I just saw the video of mad girls twerking right behind Snacks on stage last week. At venue and just get my rocks off that way, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you didn't have to be there almost.
Yeah, dead ass. I didn't have to be there because of shit. That's just my straight like ass windows going right your way. Straight up ass windows going
away. But Jesus.
What's going on? Why are you laughing, Ado? You all right? Ado, you good?
Jesus Christ.
You straight?
But what is true? But then we talk about let's say prices of stuff, right? Like I know concerts prices are insane. We've talked about that.
That's true. Everything was cheaper.
And I think in a weird way how nightlife, if we compare like bars and clubs and shit like that, their pricing, I'm not too against. Like, I don't think, I've never paid for a fucking entry in my life. But so I guess I'm a little biased.
You privileged motherfucker.
But like, to me, like, especially when we go on the low end, if we go to a bar and it's 10 bucks to get in, come on. Like, hey, I get it. A broke college student, I get it. But hey, this is what it takes if you want to be popping or not. If you're not popping, you're not popping. Now, if we talk about clubs,
10 bucks to get in to spend $5 on a Bud Light.
Yeah, yeah. And guess what? You're going to pregame. Like, fuck it, man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But then we go on the club side, right? Now we're talking 20, 25, 30, 40. If there's realistically, if there's a celebrity appearance, if they are just going to walk through, now we're talking 50.
Yeah.
Right? Shit, it can go to 100 in some places. Usually, like when Drake or Travis Scott
are in town.
Yeah, so, you know, now we start talking about, okay, big prices just to go, right? And then now we start talking about, like, is it worth it, right? But now it's the perception of, is the party worth it? But then what is partying? Should partying be that expensive? Should attending a nightclub, is it worth that price tag? What are you buying into? Right. And so obviously the type of venue, right? Is it a nice enough venue, right? Is XYZ place is worth it. XYZ place isn't worth it. The DJ, right? The musical experience, right? DJs, ideally you have a fan base. You have a following. They will pay to see you. Yeah. They like you. They like the way you do music, yada, yada, yada. Now we have combinations. The combination of a good venue, good DJ. Good venue, bad DJ. Bad venue, good DJ, right? These all determine. This is product, right? This is business.
Combination.
Nice. So what do you think would you say is worth it? What is not worth it? Why are these people deeming worth it versus not worth it? How is that being played out in today's day and age for nightlife?
Oh no, man! I think we should definitely start doing teriyaki samples at the door. If we do that,
they do that. It's called the Hong Kong, and they're still open.
They do that?
Fuck yeah, bro! Hong Kong, dude. Yeah, 1 year
the chicken guy.
The chicken skewers. Yeah,
chicken guy.
Yeah, walking around with skewers.
I don't know. What do you think, Snacks?
So, to me, I think at least how it should be is the reason why there's different kinds of places to go. Again, you have your local dive bar,
yeah,
that is probably free. You have your college bar that's $5 to $10. You have your kind of, you know, maybe bar that's over that, $10 to $20. And then you have your nightclubs that are VIP bottle service, hundreds of dollars, thousands of dollars, and cover is going to be $30, $40, $50. There's levels to this because there's levels to society, right? Yeah. And, but I don't think as a whole you can say that going out sucks, partying sucks. You will find what you're into. You should find what you're into. You should be open to explore. You should want to explore what you're into.
Now more than ever, it should be easier to find what you're into too.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you want to go have a good time, then you should go and do it, right? And you should pay for it. And you should, you know, especially if you are paying that money, like you should mentally and emotionally like be in it, be invested in it, right? You just paid X amount of money to be in that door, right? And also, like, when you pay money to see a show, right? Let's see, fucking Broadway musical, pay $80 to go. You sit there and you're like, okay, this is what I bought into. I'm excited for it. I heard about it. Let's see what they give me. And then you're going to enjoy it, right? I think that's where shit gets messed up. That part of the journey. I paid for this. Now it needs to be exactly what I want or else it's bad.
Yeah.
Right? The open-mindedness is gone. And that makes it really, really difficult.
Even with you know, digested music now, people, their expectations, they let that take over their mind, and then they build up this anticipation of what it should be rather than just actually just soaking in the moment. Because at the whole time when you go at it that way, you're already going in judgmental because you're like, if it's not this, then it's not.
I'm gonna say two things. I think to my first point, which is why I brought up the mall in the first place, I think it's definitely a generational thing, which is what we were alluding to earlier, right? Obviously, like, as we're getting older, less and less of our friends that are our age are starting to pull up. Different crowd comes in, right? That's part one. Part two, I think just from, like, sustainability for these venues, now more than ever, obviously, like, shit is expensive. Cost of living is higher. Like, those are very real things.
Yeah.
So people are picking one night versus the other to go out, which is what I've been seeing a lot of.
Sure.
In the long run for these venues, that's not really sustainable. And especially in cities like we live in where you can't do like drink discounts, and there's like a million reasons which we've been trying to resolve for years now, and yet we have someone that's supposed to, and yet nothing's happened. We're supposed to.
Where they at?
And it's like,
what's their name again? What's the person that's... You want me to drop a diss record? Yeah, I'll do it.
but I'm saying there's true issues that are going on and that aren't being addressed. And it's like, for sustainabilities for these venues, it's not surprising to me that venues open and then weeks later or months later
die out,
cutting nights, and then eventually die out. It's just not sustainable.
To be real, we live in an area where the club is not first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth priority. You know what I'm saying?
What do you mean? Well, then what is?
I feel like we live in a very Commonwealth area where I think the schools and, you know, stuff like that, and the hospitals and stuff that we get awards for as far as being in Boston. I feel
I see what you're saying.
Those come first. I feel like all that other stuff, I feel like it becomes a nuisance for the city in a sense where it's a headache rather than something they would rather see. They would rather work on to improve. You know what I'm saying? And yes, they're talking about business and stuff like that, but like I feel like we've it's never been a priority for the Boston city.
Well, so I definitely don't disagree with that, but I think on the other side of that coin is that we also have this influx of students that is you know, whether it's undergrad or grad or med,
they got to go someplace.
Like people need to decompress, and like in the same way that we lose 350,000 students over a week, we gain that too.
Well, if you noticed, I feel like there's an influx of a lot of, like, you know, all in one kind of kind of experiences where it's like the food, the music, the gaming, yeah, and all that stuff. Yeah, there's a lot of that being open around here.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's going into that direction more. And I think that that has a lot to do with just that all in one. Hey, let's just go somewhere where we don't have to leave. We can do everything all at once right there. And we have that experience. So rather than going to the club and spending money there, let's spend money here and do it that way.
I think, you know, obviously it's a generational thing. I think nightlife as an industry is definitely developed with the times. I think we're very, what's the word I'm looking for? It basically, like, we're persistent and we're always going to find a solution. We will adapt with the times. So it's definitely not like what's going on at the physical clubs. I think it's a generational thing and I think it's a financial thing.
Well, put it, look at this way. Like, it's gotten to a point where promoters start to die out, and then now DJs are throwing these parties.
Well,
you know what I'm saying? A lot of DJs are the ones that are running these nights now. And obviously, historically, DJs have always thrown their own parties. But in Boston, I feel like Boston was a heavy promoter type of nightlife kind of thing, like VIP type of shit, where now it's just like you see just a bunch of DJs just starting up nights because we want to do something. And people are not putting in that effort anymore. Mm-hmm. They don't see the money in it anymore, and that forces the club to then to hike up their prices, hike up their taxes on promoters, and which makes you be like, what's the point of me doing this?
You saying, you mentioning that the new kind of experiences coming in, and those UK guys that, you know, from the Instagram clip we were watching, kind of mentioned this too, of these new businesses coming in, these new types of experience. They mentioned like the super club, they mentioned music festivals and stuff like that, where it's kind of more one-stop shop, or, you know, we're able to hear music in this way and experience music in this way. I think in the fact that mainstream music, and then in turn, the culture of nightclubs now, especially in the US, I guess in the UK it might be similar, dancing isn't necessarily the primary thing to do there anymore. So when dancing is not the primary thing to do anymore, if it's now more so, let's look cool, or let's listen to cool music, and just vibe out, you can do those things in these other places. Where if it was like, hey, I want to go to a dance hall or a nightclub to dance, I can't do that at Puttcheck. I can't do that at XYZ Arcade because it's not meant for dancing.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? But now if people aren't going to the nightclubs to dance, they're going there to kind of like socialize, drink. They can socialize and drink at A, B, C, D, and E.
For cheaper.
So I think that's a big thing too, where it kind of goes back into like, hey, like what happened to the dance floors? If the dance floors were the thing that people are going for, now that nightclubs become a little bit more valuable in that sense, because that's the only place where you can do it safely, right?
Yep.
Where there's just tons of booze that you can buy, and that, you know, there's security there, there's structure to it, there's a DJ, you know, versus like having to throw a party in your garage. You know what I mean?
I think what also adds to that has been the change in music.
The
influx of a lot of trap and all that stuff like that. That's not dancing really, music. It's not dancing music. It's vibe music.
Right. But you can listen to that at an arcade or at a whatever. So,
and it's the generation that came up on that type of trap, you know, that's going on right now with the young kids and like the kind of like the rock star type shit. But I think it's kind of a rebirth, and it's kind of a wash in one way. It's a pro and a con. For real DJs, for guys that are actually doing it, because it was definitely a oversaturated market at one point. I think sometime around like 2 years ago, where it was just like you began to see a lot of motherfuckers turn to DJ, do shuttle and stuff like that,
Grimes,
and seeing a lot of people fucking undercutting and shit like that. So. I think this happening is going to force clubs to really hone in on DJs that can hold the dance floor. It's going to hone in on DJs that can bring people to a night. It's going to hone on DJs that can make people drink, and that's going to bring back that's going to eliminate those guys that shouldn't be, that just, you know, kind of sneak their way in.
But even coming out of COVID, like, I remember everyone was talking about, like, when shit opens back up, we're going to have the Roaring 20s again.
Yeah.
And it happened for, like, a summer.
I was going to say.
And then everyone like died out and was like, oh, we don't want to party. And it's like, I thought we wanted to party for the last 3 years. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just a very interesting thing that hopefully, you know, we'll see how it grows out. And maybe it's the DJs, maybe it's the music, maybe it's the prices. We'll see what it is. But it's interesting to see that kind of the UK is experiencing something too, something yeah. very similar. Yeah. It's not just like Boston yeah. or the US or whatever yep. the case is. So.
Yeah, let's go to the stuff, mall. Guys. Let's make the mall cool again.
Make the mall cool again. Baby. Fuck. I mean, wow. Where do we even go? I mean, talk about music.
Whoa.
Huh?
Oh,
it's West Coast. Content.
Kendrick's gonna Kendrick too.
Kendrick's gonna Kendrick.
When this first played, I was like, this is a Kendrick diss for sure.
Yep.
I thought he was gonna charge him up on this one, and then I'm like, hold on, it's 6 minutes long though. I'm like,
yeah.
Hold on, let me let it wait. Because I seen you guys blow up the fucking chat. I'm like, I'm at work. I'm looking yeah. at this shit. I'm like, I'm trying to respond. I'm like, I didn't even listen to the song yet. Listen to the first 2 seconds.
The podcast is 24/7.
So I went, and I listened to the shit, and it just kept escalating. And escalating, and yeah. you can kind of hear his voice get more angry and angry.
It was like
angry.
A good porn video. You know, it started saying? Off, you're kind of like, what am I getting into? And then you see some character development. You're yeah. like, okay, we're,
the I pizza
see,
delivery guy comes.
I see where we're headed, but what are we doing? And then, and then the climax.
And you kind of experienced that in real time.
So I'm a big comment as I go.
Yo,
in both listening and in sex. So Jesus. Yeah, I was very much in the group chat. I was like, Camia sent it, and I was like, I was at the gym actually, and I was like listening, and I was just making kind of, I was like, yo, this shit's fucking whack as it started in the fucking Mr. Rogers intro. And then
Teddy Pendergrass, by the way.
And then once the beat came in the first like minute, he was still kind of talking about nothing.
I was like, there's been yeah. nothing. At
and
this
then
point.
It started.
So you guys think.
Oh, we'll get there. And then it starts very much picking. He calls him by his yeah. name. He, yeah. It's very. So, and then I was like, okay. Like, I mean, I think I was texting. Okay, like, okay.
We're here. We're here.
Yeah. So Kendrick Lamar has reminded us there's no substitute for real emotion in rap beef this morning. This morning. I mean, by the time this drops, it's going to be a little bit aged, but this morning, the LA rapper released his response in the ongoing feud between himself and Drake by dropping a six minute song aimed at Drake as a rap artist and, more importantly, as an assassination of his character on a human level. Euphoria not only references Drake's involvement with the Max hit drama of the same name, but also expresses the level of elation Lamar likely feels in finally getting these things off his chest. Lamar's song is the latest plot point in the timeline of hostility between the two rap titans, considered to be part of hip-hop millennial Mount Rushmore. This is a timeline that goes back over a decade and has recently reignited the beginning of 2024 with a storm of messy diss tracks, both authentic and artificial. Gotta love the world that we're in, baby.
Let's go. We're
and
back.
I know in past episodes we kind of went through that timeline. But in the beginning of this song, Lamar uses a calm, cool, yet sinister delivery in that Mr. Rogers-ass beat, which Teddy Pendergrass, thank you, correspondent Sampler Fingers. Know you a master manipulator, a habitual liar too, and don't tell no lie about me, and I won't tell truths about you. Sounds like my ex, man. Fuck.
Give me snacks, baby.
Fingers, I mean, I know you got a lot to say. I don't know where you guys want to start. Initial thoughts. I know Fingers has listened to this 20 times. I've listened to it 3 times, I think.
I listened to it 3 times.
45 times, some shit like that.
At first, I'll just start because I think Fingers is getting some shit ready.
Yeah, he's cooking.
When I first heard it, so again, I'm going to just preface with the bias that I am a big Drake fan. I think we all know this. Light skin God. All right. Big fan. OVO. I respect Kendrick. I like a lot of his music, but I'm not like a Kendrick stan by any means. So I am biased. I prefer Drake's rap style. I prefer his diss style. So when this first started, I was like, ah, oh, Kendrick is going to do his Mr. Morale and the Big Stepper's ass fucking whatever. But yeah, then the beat switches and he starts going off and I'm like, oh. I think he had a couple lines that I think were kind of whack. Couple lines that really hit. A yep. couple lines where I actually fucking laughed. A couple of lines where I was like, oh, shit. But my issue, I have a few issues. 6 minutes long. I think it could have been condensed a lot.
For sure.
I think if it was 4 minutes and it was just the best parts of it, it would have been very, very strong. Like I mentioned, I think it does have a lot of good lines. But I don't think he's saying anything new. I think a lot of his biggest points were Drake's fucking white. And he's zesty. Things that we've all known and people have been saying for the last 10 years. So, and I said this in the last episode, this with a lot of these rap beefs now, a lot of it almost comes down to who has the craziest secrets to
unveil.
Who's
got the dirt?
Who's got the dirt? And to be honest, I think Drake is the most battle-tested rapper out right now. there's he's kind of in that 8 Mile situation where there's not a lot much more you can say about me. You know what I'm saying? So like
he won one battle with Meek Mill.
That's I didn't say he won everything. I'm just saying he's been in multiple battles, like we've said in the last episode. He's been doing this across his whole career, trying to defend himself and honestly stepping up to the plate almost every time. Now, this is the first time, correct me if I'm wrong, that someone has really come at Kendrick very visibly and straightforwardly, where saying...
Kendrick went at him for the first time directly because Drake, he subs everything with Kendrick.
No. But no one has ever... come at Kendrick before.
I think there was a point in time with the control that like a bunch of like lower level guys.
But no, not like this.
Correct.
So my point is people have called Drake White and Zesty and Mr. Songboy since the beginning of time.
Yep.
No one has ever called Kendrick a pipsqueak on a song.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about how small he, like you see what I'm saying? This is new stuff for us.
Kendrick
and that's
talks about his shortness in every fucking
Kendrick
song.
Talks about it himself.
What's so crazy about what Drake said?
No. What I'm saying is we've heard this about Drake many times. No one has ever done. We've never heard it about Kendrick before.
Valid point, so that's why it feels stronger.
At the end of the day, these are petty disses at this point. These are petty rap line bar disses.
Tit for tat, right?
Yeah. Right. Yes, correct. Right. But what I'm saying is because Drake has been so, you know, has been come at so many times and Kendrick hasn't, it becomes that much more impactful. It becomes that much more groundbreaking, right? So that's my thing. So I think that's where Drake has inevitable leverage in this situation that, again, everything he was saying, I was like, these are cool ways to say it.
Right.
Kendrick's rapping very well. These rhyme schemes are great.
Yep.
But he's not saying anything that I haven't heard in a Drake-type diss energy before. And that was kind of my thing with it. I was like, if this was the first, and I said this in the chat, if this was the first track that came out that started the beef,
where
Kendrick came out of nowhere with a 6-minute fucking thing completely dedicated to Drake, and he's saying this and he's saying that, would have been crazy. If he said that before Metro's album dropped, and then like that drops, and he goes into the Kendrick and J. Cole thing, fuck y'all, I already said fuck Drake, fuck the big three, I'm big me, boom, that would have been
more
crazy.
Impactful. More impactful.
Unfortunately for me, this is our response 3 weeks after the response
days.
To like
17
that.
17 days.
In a
That's
time-
closer to 3 weeks than
Hold
2 weeks.
Whose response? Drake's or
Kendrick's to Drake's?
Kendrick's to Drake's is 17 days.
Am I crazy? Is that not three? Is that almost 3 weeks?
It's almost
am I,
3 weeks.
Am I fucking crazy?
Yeah, 2.5 weeks.
It's 2.5 weeks. What do you want from me?
Okay.
In a time and era where music accessibility
Drake
is like at its
20
peak.
20-some days.
From what?
From like that.
Was it? No, it wasn't.
No way.
It wasn't.
Do we want to do this? Like, no, you think I'm just going to pull out numbers out my ass? Look when Drake dropped compared to when like that dropped.
Hold on, look when Kendrick dropped after that. Metro, we don't trust you dropped what day?
Academics was doing a countdown.
Hold on, he did a countdown.
The day that the Drake dropped, he did a countdown to...
You're right.
Even still, to that point. To that point, even still, Drake was on a world tour. What is Kendrick doing right now? Besides, probably he should probably he's
no, no,
been
no.
in
I'll,
the lab.
I'll give this a thing. Is that point that I was just gonna make has been shut down. However, in the order of operations, shout out my third grade teacher. In the order of operations, because this is what the fourth or fifth installment of the full thing. To me, it doesn't hit the same as it could have.
They're slow walking the dog. They're slow walking,
which is
the dog.
Fine. But hey. We want my opinion on what this thing. I think, in context, given what it is as a standalone piece, what it is in the context, what it is in the timeline, what it is in the beef, it didn't do that much for me. That's my opinion.
I believe this is a setup. I believe this is another setup for Drake.
Could be.
I believe this is definitely gonna make Drake jump out. If Drake don't drop by the end of tonight, he's gonna drop by the end of the week.
Why does it have to be tonight?
I believe because Drake is impulsive like that. I believe and I believe that Drake has been working on some more stuff.
So for Drake and I go back a really long way, very close friends. I don't think this was enough to piss off Drake. Because again, he's heard all of this before. I don't think he's like, you know what I'm saying? Like Pusha T, he said something that no one fucking, like it was the most devastating thing in the world. Kendrick is your light skin.
don't say the N-word because you're white and you're fucking zesty and you have fake abs. Like, this is shit that's been on the internet right. for 10 years. So if I was Drake,
that.
I would look at this and be like...
And all his counterparts already said it on their verses.
You know what I'm saying? That's where I'm at. And that's why, again, as individual disses, as individual rhymes, I was like, yeah, he's doing great. This is great.
In a creative way.
In a creative way. But again, in the bigger picture, I'm like, okay.
Should we play the track? Should we go through the track?
The whole thing?
Let's do it. Fuck it. We're only at 34 minutes. We got time.
We're not going to play the whole thing.
Let's go through it. Why not get it right?
It's 6 minutes.
Let's dissect this shit. Because a lot of people... Because a lot of shit is going through all the motherfuckers' heads.
I have the lyrics.
A lot of shit is going through motherfuckers' heads. It's different.
I have the lyrics.
It's different to actually listen to it and then decipher it that way. Because a lot of shit is going over motherfuckers' heads. I'm sorry.
Did you have the lines? Do you have the lines ran down that you're referring to or no?
That's why I said I'd rather listen to it.
No, we're not doing
it. Yeah, if it was Drake,
pull up the highlights.
Come on, start over and light some candles.
We didn't do that for Drake. We didn't even do that for Drake. And Drake had a shorter fucking song.
Whatever. All right, go ahead.
Don't ever talk about Drake like that.
Cool. Aubrey?
Drake's my top three artists. I'm neutral. I'm in the middle with it because this is hip hop. This is you know, going back and forth talking shit. But there's a lot of shit that ties into the whole Euphoria shit.
Right.
There's a lot of things that tie into all that. And there's some, you know, there's Drake has been, you know, there's a lot of hypocrisy in push-ups.
Yeah, but
he pointed those shits out. All right, there's also this shit about that people keep running from is Drake. You supposed to be this dude that's this Grim Reaper.
Yeah,
you still gotta answer to Pusha T. That motherfucker disrespected you wholeheartedly, bro. And what you do? You went and you did an interview. This is hip hop, so you pick and choose your battles. Come on, man. And I feel like you know where Kendrick has to go with this. I feel like it's gonna get dirty. I feel like it's gonna get to that point.
Yeah, probably.
You know what I'm saying? Because the only angle Drake can go is to go research and get some negative shit and really go at him personally.
To Snacks's point, I feel like the two biggest difference between Drake's and Kendrick's records were. Number one, I think that, you know, Drake didn't really have any throwaway bars on his. Everything was just super aimed concise, and deliberate. Yeah. Not, and again, I know.
There wasn't no throwaway bars in push-ups? What in push-ups was so fucking great? That was, that shit's a fucking bar.
No, but it was deliberate. Everything related to something. Everything related to something.
And this is not the same for Euphoria?
I'm going to recite.
Euphoria is just random bars?
I'm going to recite.
A big
chunk of the song because I think it does go pretty straight into it. Oh, you thought the money, the power, or fame would make you go away? Have you ever played? Have you ever? Okay, let's play. Have you ever walked your enemy down like with a poker face? Have you ever paid 500,000 like to an open case? Well, I have, and I failed at both, but I came out straight. I hate when a rapper talk about guns, then somebody die. They turn into nuns, then hop online. Like, pray for my city. He faking for likes and digital hugs. His daddy a killer. He wanna be junior. They must have forgot that the shit that they done. Dementia must run in his family, but let it get shaky.
Drake, we love you. You're not a gangster. Nobody believes that you are a thug. No one believes that you shoot shit. No one believes that you will send a finger to somebody's mother. That's what people are saying. It's enough of this. The only people that believe that shit is the white boys that go to your concert. No one believes that you're a gangster. All right, so that he's tackling that straight on the head because Correct. He want to act like he's taking people's chains and shit. Yeah. Like, it's not going to happen, bro.
I'll park his son. The first time I shot me a Drake, which is...
The gun.
The homie had told me to aim it this way. I didn't point down enough. Today, I'll show you I learned from those mistakes. Somebody had told me that you got a ring. On God, I'm ready to double the wage. I'd rather do that than let a Canadian make Pac turn in his grave.
Obviously, that was good. Very good bar.
Because Drake bought a ring, bought a Pac's ring that Pac designed, and he's like, "Yo, of course Drake's gonna go do that petty shit and go buy Pac's ring." So he's like, "Yo, what the fuck are you doing? Pac would never want you to have that shit. Pac would probably be the one to be here and be like, yo, I don't fuck with this dude.'"
And the fact that he obviously used his AI generated voice.
Cutthroat business, you got shit twisted. What is it? The braids got him. I hurt your feelings. You don't want to work with me no more. Okay, it's three goats left, and I seen two of them kissing and hugging on stage. Loving to death, and in 8 bars, I'll explain that phrase, huh? It's nothing nobody can tell me. I don't want to walk on no celly. You know I got language barriers. It's no accent you can sell me. Yeah, Cole and Aubrey know I'm a selfish. The crown is heavy. I pray they're my real friends. If not, I'm YNW Melly.
If y'all know who for the white people that are listening, if you know who YNW Melly is, YNW Melly is a dude that is in jail right now and being convicted of murder because he was with his two best friends and he ended up killing, he's being convicted of killing them both.
Yes, thank you. I don't like you popping shit at Pharrell, which for our meltdown.
Drake had bought Pharrell's chain and was talking shit about Pharrell because Pharrell is tied to Pusha T.
For him, I inherit the beef. Nice. Yeah, fuck all that pushing P. Let me see you push a T. You better off spinning again on him. You think about pushing me. It's Terrence Thorin. I'm Terrence Crawford. Yeah, I'm whooping feet. We ain't got to get personal. This is a friendly fade. You should keep it that way. I know some shit about that make Gunna wanna look like a saint.
All right, so Drake is being he is being accused of snitching, and there's other paperwork that's saying that that's on him as in the streets. Some people have debunked it. Some people say that the debunk is not right. It's not true. So that's something that, you know, Kendrick is saying, being like, yo, don't make me pull those cards out if it gets dirty.
This ain't about critics, not about gimmicks, not about who the greatest. It's always been about love and hate. Now let me say I'm the biggest hater. This is where I was like, eh.
All right, now I'm going to show you where
it's coming from. I know. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's always been about love and hate. Now let me say I'm the biggest hater. I hate the way that you walk, the way that you talk. I hate the way you dress. I hate the way you sneak this. If I catch flight, it's going to be direct. We hate the bitches you fuck because they confuse themselves with real women. And notice I said we. It's not just me. I'm what the culture feeling. How many more fairy tale stories by your life till we had enough? How many more black features till you finally feel that you're black enough? I like Drake with the melodies. I don't like Drake when he act tough. You going to make a bring back puff. Let me see if Chubbs really crash something.
Well, people kept talking about I hate you the way you do it. That's so whack and corny. But what that comes from.
I said that.
That comes from a DMX interview on Power or what's it called, whatever, in the Breakfast Club where he was like. So that's where that's coming from. That's where that's stemming from. A lot of people didn't get that and why he was doing that. And to me, I think that's kind of funny and witty. Especially coming from DMX. And what people don't understand is like, Kendrick, he has the upper hand in hip hop because he has more of the solidified background upbringing where it's more relatable to hip hop than where Drake is. That's why a lot of people are he's kind of hinting on that. Like, yo, you didn't really come from this. You had to grow into this. I am this. You kind of twisted your life to be this. You didn't grow up these ways the way you're rapping. No, you're a fraud for that. You know what I'm saying? So that's that angle that he's taking with it.
Yeah, my first one like my last one. It's a classic. You don't have one. Crazy. Let your core audience stomach that. I can't. Then tell them where you get your abs from. That line was fucking hilarious.
And everybody knew these things, right? Everyone knows these things.
Right,
which
was my thing. But again, I was like, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's fucking hilarious. I think, let your core audience stomach that. Like, I liked it.
There's kind of a validity for me hearing it from Kendrick. And the way Kendrick is portraying this and the way Kendrick in his mind is mapping these things out. I think everything is strategic, the way he put it, the way things are coming. I believe 2 weeks from now, we're going to be getting videos of people really breaking shit down of what the fuck is really going on in his verse. I feel like people just, you know, it was so like, people like their attention span is so like this. So just like, that's why I told myself, you know, let me listen to it five times.
You know, that's a really good point. Cause texted you guys after, I was like, you know, the first time through, I'm like, didn't really move the needle for me. And then I listened to it again, read the lyrics too, and I'm like, okay. So like in Drake's diss track, at least like it was like 1-2, and I was like one bar, two bar,
it's
and I
more
was like,
palatable.
Oh,
it's more, was, it's more, yeah, friendly. Yeah, 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 it's right. It's more user friendly. Yeah. Drake's voice has built that kind of user friendly thing.
And the way that he structured it too, because it was exactly. like it was like 1-2, and I was like, oh, 1-2, oh. And yeah. then with Kendrick, it was like 1, 2, 3, 4. It was like more storytelling.
So if you go on a rap song and be like, the itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Down came the rain and watch the spider out. You know, I listen to that. Yo, the itsy bitsy spider that came down the drain and won the zane. And then they washed away. And like, it's more listenable. It's more like, oh shit, this is more catchier than that. That's a better diss record. But if you break down his bars, he's not saying anything. He's not saying, he didn't say nothing. And a lot of the things that he said what did he say? Is there any quotables from Drake's record? Can you tell me right now?
The Michael Jackson one.
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Right out of my head.
I think Michael Jackson, this is better Michael Jackson than now.
That's a quotable. That's a quotable.
Bro, what's a son to a king?
It's a prince.
No, what's a prince to a king?
Oh,
a son.
It's a son.
Like,
oh, okay. Right, I guess.
You asked for a line of
that's the quotable?
Bro,
that's coming
bro,
out
bro, bro, the size 7?
To demolish Kendrick Lamar? To the rapper that got the Pulitzer Prize? That's the person? That's the line?
I think
first off, fuck your bitch in the click you came. West Side, when we rock, come and click with game. That's a quotable. You claim to be a player, but I fuck your
Kendrick's
wife.
Kendrick's not doing that either.
But I'm not saying he is. I'm talking about the praise from Push-Ups is like he did some shit like that. That's what I'm talking about.
I think for Drake, that he was able to, and I think this is very similar to Back to Back, it's almost very similar to BPM, very similar, just kind of song, is the fact that he was able to defend himself, come at actually multiple people very directly in a very tasteful, listenable way, which is what Drake is very good at.
The quotable line of that song,
and it was straight bars.
The most quotable line of that song is, Metro shut your whole ass up, make some beats. That is what lived on past the high jokes that lasted 3-4 days past the Rick Ross.
So you're gonna listen to this song for the next year?
What do you mean?
This song, you're gonna listen to this Kendrick
record? One step at a time. Slow walk the dog, guys. I'm just talking about the Drake record right now. I'm just saying since y'all put it as the Holy Grail some shit.
Do you play push-ups?
So,
do you play push-ups at the club?
No, I have not played push-ups in the club, and I have not had the urge to play push-ups in the club.
I have.
All right? Well, of course. It's easy to play push-ups in the club because of the beat, not because of what's going on.
I don't think it's a club record at all.
It's not. What do you mean?
It's not a club record. It's him straight rapping.
Those drums, it doesn't matter. Those drums, and it's club-ish, just like back-to-back. It's the same tempo. But that wasn't a back-to-back. It wasn't even close to being the back-to-back.
So the reason why those songs are able to be played in the club is because of how strong those lines are.
No, it's because of how catchy Drake is, and his voice is...
Push-Ups is a catchy song?
Like I said, Drake's voice is very inviting. The way he says things is very inviting. The validity in a rap battle of what he's saying is trash.
You like the sound of Drake's voice?
Yes, that's a thing.
I just want to get that on record. Drake is my top three.
I just want to get that on record. Drake is my top three. What do you mean? I recite Drake records all the time. That's one of my top three.
I just wanted that on record.
I'm just saying that, like, yo, like, the validity of the words that he's saying are trash. The melodics of the song, way better.
That's what it is. What other validity things are you questioning right now? Because I'm not truly following.
What do you mean?
You said the validity of what he said.
The bars were kiddie play song. Kiddie play bars. And they're both doing that right now. They're both doing kiddie play bars. But for y'all to be like, yo, push-ups is the fucking... the greatest shit ever.
First of all, I never said that.
A lot of Drake dicks.
Why are you projecting that on me?
Yeah,
first of all, I prefaced my whole thing with being like, I am a Drake fan and I am biased. Did I not do that?
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I'm doing that as my job as a journalist. Doing my job. We still have a second verse to go through.
What about the 50%, the whole semi hook of the song, drop and give me 50? What is that referring to?
That's contradicting because Drake is signed to somebody else. So you're talking about somebody's splits.
You're talking about somebody's split.
You can do that, but that was his whole career. You could talk about somebody's split, but you can't talk shit because you think Drake is not giving money? You think Drake is not tied to Rap-A-Lot still? You think Drake is not tied to Young Money, Cash Money still giving them money? You guys
not saying that. I'm. I, that is, that is a good point. The point I'm trying to make is what everyone is now alluding to is the fact that Drake has ownership in TDE, does he not?
I have no idea. No
That's
one knows that.
That's what he's alluding to in the song.
You can allude to whatever you want. Where's the paperwork at?
The whole bar of like, yeah, your merch money pays for me and my friends.
What was going on is him saying that whatever Kendrick drop, he has to give 50 to Top Dog.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Which was the deal he was talking about.
Which he has ownership in.
All right. So
I mean, every rapper has to give money to somebody. I think Drake's I don't think Drake would just bring that up as a whole theme of his song if he also owed 50% to somebody.
Yeah, but he also had, like I said.
So does everybody.
So that, to me, is a contradictory line.
But it's not 50,
line.
But it's not 50, I'm sure.
Oh, my God, it's not 50. It's not 45. But if you have to pay five people, if you have to bust down shit to five people, you cannot.
I'm just saying, you're not going to sit here
and talk about a split to one person. What are we talking about?
TD is one person?
TD is Top Dog in the dude he's with. That's one entity. So you're telling me if you have a split between five, what the fuck am I in? This is rocket science. Splitting five people to one person, why are you even making fun of that? He has nothing to say about Kendrick.
All right, we're going to go to the second verse.
Am I lying?
No. It's just a lot.
What am I talking?
Okay.
It's apples and oranges. What are you talking about?
Top Dog, who the fuck they think they play? Are you ready? Because you're the correspondent. So are you following? Okay. You're doing great, by the way.
I love Drake, by the way. This is fun. This is fun to argue with Snacks. Such a
what?
Nothing. I don't want to finish. I'll drop you a diss record next week.
Drop and give me 50.
Top Dog, who the fuck they think they playing with? Extortion my middle name as soon as you jump off that plane, bitch. I'm allergic to the lame shit. Only you like being famous. Yachty can't give you no swag neither. I don't give a fuck about who you hang with.
So a lot of people are saying that Drake has been taking a lot of Yachty swag. I feel like when he went...
Well, it's not saying Yachty has collabed with him in a lot of his latest
records. Yeah, a lot of his latest records. Now there's a reference and a talked about reference track that came out that it's Drake reciting Yachty's lines back to back. It was Yachty's song and it was given to Drake. And then now Drake changed up his whole style wearing the baggy pants like Yachty. So people are alluding that. Yo, you're taking out his soul.
I hate the way you walk. I hate the way you talk. I hate the way that you dress. Surprised you wanted that feature request. You know that we got some shit to address.
Wait. So.
I'm kind of flowing.
I had this idea and this notion that, and it was out there floating as well. I saw later on that one person, first person shooter was supposed to be Kendrick, Cole.
Really?
And Drake.
Mm. Oh my God.
And then Cole and then Kendrick said no. And that's what he's referring to. So I think that's why.
Mm-hmm. You wanted the feature request.
Interesting. Why still give him? I'm just curious. And I'm not saying you know the answer. I don't know the answer. I'm curious why they still gave him the praise in the song.
I think that's a rhetorical question, I think. Sorry.
So I think that's like, I think that was part of the whole thing where,
yeah.
But if you think about it, it wasn't Drake that gave the bigs up, it was Cole. Cole's the one that gave the big up to him. So that's the rumor that Drake did reach out for that. And that's why he was like, yo, with all the beef, like, why would you reach out to me and hop on a track that's so fake?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Valid.
I even hate when you say the N-word, but that's just me, I guess. Some shit just cringeworthy. And it ain't even got to be deep, I guess.
So there's a clip of Drake when he was younger talking like it was like straight from Degrassi.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had the hat on back, like, to the side. And he said nigga, and it just didn't sound right. It didn't sound right, so that's what he's alluding
to. But I do think that's like the curse of the mixed kid, you know.
It definitely is.
And it's true. Like I mean, we can break, like, anyone, like the whole, in the summers he went to, what is it, Memphis or whatever with his dad.
Yeah.
But most of the years with his mom. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, I think, it's very real.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he is a black man. Like, he
this is, yeah, but this is also, real. Again, like, not anything we haven't heard before. Too.
Right, correct. Still love when you see success. Everything with me is blessed. Keep making me dance, waving my hand, and it won't be no threat. I know they call you the boy, but where is a man? Because I ain't seen him yet. Matter of fact, I ain't even bleed him yet. Can I bleed him? Bet. Huh? Oh, bet. When I see you stand by sexy red, I believe you see two bad bitches. I believe you don't like women. It's real competition. You might pop ass with them.
Listen, that's pretty much straightforward. You know, Drake, his whole career. I mean, you're shooting at a pregnant woman.
like you're you know, you'll jump out and shoot at women all the time, like, you know, so people, he's alluding to that, like, yo, bro, like, you kind of move like a female yourself.
A little zesty. Nothing wrong with being a little zesty.
The sexually ambiguous man is in.
So that's very, yo, I've said a year ago now, I said the sexually ambiguous man is very in.
Oh, did he?
Let's speak on percentage. Show me your splits. I'll make sure I double back with you. You were signed to that he was signed to that, which is basically what Fingers was just saying, is sort of the splits, which when I heard that bar, I remember being like, yeah. I'm with you. I get it. I'm here for it. This is good.
Mm-hmm.
Try season assist on the Like That record.
So that is what I didn't know. That's new tea.
I didn't know that.
So I guess there was a season assist. I think that had to do, I'm really curious about the Kanye remix getting taken down.
Well, it was also awful.
Well, that B switch was amazing. I don't give a fuck what anybody said. That B switch,
he's going crazy
fire.
On the chance right now.
I'm not. With that B switch, you don't even have to say nothing crazy on that.
Yeah,
that B switch was just fire. That in the club is crazy. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about the fact that when they dropped with Metro and Metro's tag, whatever, and Future on it. Then it got taken off streaming. Then it got dropped again with just Ye, nobody else, and then it got stripped again. So that's funny. Something happened there.
Ho, what? You ain't like that record back to back? I like that record. I'm going to get back to that for the record.
So now
Kendrick can rap, bro.
He got, but think about that. That means I'm going to get back to back.
Mm-hmm.
He has something else.
I'm with you.
He has something else.
But you know, as we said from the beginning of the whole beef, like, Kendrick fucking raps.
Yeah.
And like, it's bars like this where it's very simple, but it's like, and how he just makes it, it's just, I thought that line, I remember,
fire.
Why would I call around to try and get dirt? Y'all think my life is rap? That's ho shit. I got a son to raise, but I can see you don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, that's fire. That's
and, then he, and then he keeps going.
Waking him up, know nothing about that. Tell him to pray, know nothing about that. And giving him tools to walk through life like day by day, know nothing about that.
Now, let me tell you something. All right.
Here we go.
Being a father.
I knew this was coming. This is great.
Being a father, I have a son that, you know, my first child, I'm not with his mom. So, like, you know, we were apart, you know, we just meet up certain times, like
co-parenting
after a while, we kind of split. So, after a certain age, so like that even hit me a little bit. Cause I'm like, damn, I wasn't there every day to put him in bed. I wasn't there every day. Cause the whole split shit, you know what I'm saying? So if that hurt me and he wasn't talking about me, I know.
Right.
That struck a nerve.
Teaching him morals, integrity, discipline. Listen, man, you don't know nothing about that. Speak the truth and consider what God's considering. You don't know nothing
about that. I called my son after that shit. I'm like, yo, you good?
I miss you.
How you doing, bro? So you playing games?
Ain't 20v1. It's 1v20. If I got to smack that right with you. Yeah, bring him out too. I'll clean him out too. Tell Beam that he better stay right with you. Am I battling ghost or AI? Feeling like Joel Osteen? I didn't know this one.
So the 1v20 thing and all the bars after that is alluding to the fact that, again, Drake with the ghostwriters and stuff of that nature.
Funny, he was in a film called AI and my sixth sense telling me to off him. I'm a blick all in the coffin. Yeah, Ovi Ho is dick writers. Tell him to run America. They imitate heritage. They can't imitate this violence. What I learned is, don't like the West Coast and I'm fine with it. Push the line with it. Pick a off one at a time and we can be on a 3-hour time difference. Don't speak on the family, Crody. It can be deep in the family, Crody. Talk about me and my family, Crody. Someone gonna bleed in your family, Crody.
And he was saying this in the whole Toronto accent.
Yep. I be at New Ho King eating fried rice with a dip sauce and blammy, Crody. Tell me you're cheesing, fam. We can do this right now on camera, Crody. And the rest is him really just being really mean. And then the outro, which a lot of people are talking about, that we don't want to hear you say the N-word anymore, in a very sing-songy, long stretch.
We don't want to hear you say nigga no more.
In a very in-your-face, you cannot mix this up way. And
that at his concerts, people yeah. were going to chant.
So that was definitely a moment where I was like, oh, this is going to be something that lives.
That's a chant moment.
That's a, mm. You know what I mean? And so that was us going through the lyrics. I know that took a while, but I appreciate.
But he didn't want to play the song. That would have been way fucking quicker. But
okay. We would have just heard a song and in silence.
No, I would have stopped there. But I stopped right there real quick. You know what I'm saying?
Nah.
Yeah, but yo, you got great reading, you know?
I'm spitting, bro.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
You could be
you could rap lyrics.
Yeah, you could read like children's books. You know
like,
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like Samuel L. Jackson.
What's
like,
the
go the
what's,
fuck to
what's
sleep.
The have you ever seen the
Llama the, Llama?
Yeah. You know.
Oh, the rap with
Llama. Llama Rip the
Jumma. When they gave it to Glorilla, and it was like her exact flow. Llama
Rip the Jumma. Give him some.
I think they did it to the Migos too. I think.
Migos killed it.
Llama Rip the Jumma. Oh my god, I didn't do that shit. But I appreciate y'all listening and for fingers with your amazing.
Yeah, that was good.
Hold on, before we he's gonna pop.
I'm just thanking people.
Listen, before we move forward, what are your predictions going forward? Do you think Drake drops right away? Do you think Drake's going to drop? Who do you see won this round? And are you just this is hip hop, baby.
I think so. Again, right? I think it's one for one right now. So whatever. So like that just sparked everything. I think. Drake obviously answered with his. Kendrick answered with his. Okay, so I think it's one for one right now. Again, I definitely have a better appreciation after sitting down and breaking down everything. Obviously, it's way more deliberate. Some of those bars are way more deliberate than I originally thought they were. So I respect the shit out of that. I think Drake probably by the end of the week will answer. You know, he's when something has his focus, I don't think he's going to take too long. I think he wants to be. The last thing that people remember fresh in people's minds. So I could
he
see
likes to change the conversation.
Correct. He'll address the shit that he said in there very quickly and respond.
Yeah, I think with the breakdown that I'm really appreciative again, Fingers, it is strong. I think I still stand by some of the stuff I was saying before. And just it's order and context. And I didn't love the beat, all that shit. But again, I'm biased. As far as like score, it's weird. I think right now it's pretty even. I think this being the day that it dropped, it's hard to see how it'll live. I think there is some value in the fact that it was push-ups was able to be played in the clubs and it becomes more of a cultural moment in that sense where like, I really don't think a lot of people are going to revisit this song. And I think that's where it loses.
I think like that though, is that song for him.
Correct, but it's also not his song.
I understand that, but I'm just saying, he had that's that's.
Yeah. Let's be real though. Like that turned into Kendrick's song.
Correct, but
no matter what, who's featuring what, it turned into Kendrick's song.
Sure.
He made it. Sure. He made it his moment. Sure. He made it. He took that track and was like, you know what? And he even said it in the shit to the fact of where my throwaways made you come outside. He's like, yo, that was a throwaway. Mm. That means you want to answer, bro. Like, come on, for real?
Sure.
So for me,
sure. I was incorrect in my previous prediction. I said that Drake would not respond at all, and obviously we are here very much deep. The iceberg has definitely, opposite of emerged from the water.
Mm-hmm.
So my predictions are all over the place. But I'm sure he's definitely. I think to Cammy's point, he wants to be the last one. So I'm sure he's going to come back. And I think we were even making predictions before that whatever Drake had dropped at that time was just as charged up that there's just a lot more to go. And I'm here for it. I'm here for a messy summer. I'm here for a chaotic summer. Honestly, like, again, shout out to everyone who reached out to us too today.
Yeah.
The phones were buzzing. Instagram was buzzing. My Twitter was buzzing. People were calling me being like, did you hear this? Did you guys hear this? Are you guys going to talk about it? So it's exciting. It's an exciting time for hip hop. We're very honored to be the people to kind of help break this down. Again, thank you, Fingers, and to talk about this and to kind of be the voices, whether you agree with us or not, to be able to talk about something like this in hip hop. It's very, very exciting. And we appreciate y'all for listening. Please, in the comments, whether you're watching this on YouTube or if this is a clip online, comment your opinions. If you completely disagree with me and my Drake fandom, please do. Anything like that.
Subscribe. Hey, even if you're watching it, screenshot it and post it and let us know who you think won.
If you're on Drake's side, if you're on Kendrick's side, tag us. We're always on the page. We'll definitely reply to you guys. But we want to know that you're listening. We want to know that you're engaging with us. This is for y'all. We do this for y'all. We love the reactions from you guys. So let us know that you're listening. You know, tag us. Take a screenshot.
Babe, let me know you're here.
You know what I'm saying? We want to know who's listening, because, you know, that was definitely, you know, we give back and we show love back to you guys. So please, we appreciate it.
Exciting time. What a time to be alive.
Damn.
Snacks, this is coming next week. Because I waited a whole week.
To Finger's point, I got 17 days to your point. That's not too long.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
Yo, see, I can get snacks right now, but how you gonna do it? Because I'm trying to know, you know what I'm saying?
That beat's hard, too.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks so much for listening. But I know the DJ already know what time it is. Episode 100 coming up. Stay tuned.
End it.
Thank you. See you next time.